Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order, and before we have the moment of silence, just with it being Veterans Day, are there any veterans in the audience this evening? Hey, if not, as we stand in, please, for a moment of silence, I would ask that we maybe, you know, think of those who have served and are serving now as well. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have time set aside for residents of this district to address the board. We had one who had signed up here, Chris Buck. Was there anyone else then, just to be sure? Chris, if you would come and take the microphone and introduce yourself.
Good evening. Thank you very much for taking the time tonight to come and do your duty. Appreciate it. I just want to take a quick moment just to open up in prayer. So if you would, bow your heads with me as we just quickly pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come and invest in children in this way, Lord. And we thank you for the volunteers up here, Lord. We thank you for the staff members, the teachers, Lord, who invest so much time, Lord, into your children, God. And so we just ask that you would bless them with wisdom, Lord, guide their hearts as they deal with kids in so many different situations, Lord, and coming from so many different vulnerable positions, Lord. They're not just teachers, Lord, and administrators. They are sometimes counselors, and they are just a listening ear, Lord. So we thank you for that, Lord. And we ask for wisdom tonight, Lord, as important things are discussed, Lord. That we ask that you would give everybody in this room discernment, and especially the board members. We ask for a healthy blessing of them and also for their family, Lord, who have graciously given them up for them to come and serve their community, Lord. So we thank you for all of your blessings, Lord. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen. Thank you.
Okay, we have a personnel report, and that is an item that we will take action on this evening. I think we do have one.
Yes, we have a new school psychologist here this evening, and Mrs. Martin will introduce him.
Very good. Did you have any comments or anything that opened up for you? Okay.
I have one question. We've had a. I've been laying low for the last almost a year now, not asking questions of some of the new employees. Where did you grow up? And if you weren't in education, what do you think you might be doing?
Pittsburgh Zoo. So any Pittsburghers out there?
There's a couple of them.
There you go. That's where I'm from. I went to North Catholic High School, Pittsburgh, and so I'm a Steelers fan. So that's kind of in my blood. And so I enjoy, really enjoy being with children, did a lot of mental health, worked at the Pittsburgh Zoo.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. And so we have the personnel report. Is there a motion to approve?
I move we accept the personnel report.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
John? any other questions or discussions or comments? Personnel report. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The personnel report is approved.
Congratulations, Dr. Kane. Thank you for joining our team. We're thrilled to have you.
We have then, we'll move into our Committee reports. Property and Services Committee, Mr. Ramsey.
Yes, thank you. We have two action items for next Monday night. Jeff, if you could pull up the map there. We're actually seeking to approve an easement with PP&L. You'll see in the drawing here, the map, that the area that we're looking at right here is goes behind the football field, right along the water tower. Currently, the easement is the purple shaded area with PP&L. That's about 80 feet. They're trying to get consistent across all their easement and properties, so they're looking at expanding that to 100 feet. And you'll see that area in yellow, right along the current existing easement. And what they're looking at doing is paying us about $51,000 for that additional easement. They've calculated that based on about $100,000 per acre, and they're a little over half an acre. So they would like to, again, pay us $51,000 for the easement. We've actually ran it, all the agreements and easements or the documents through the solicitor. Everything's been approved. Mr. Walsh has been coordinating with PP&L. He's been doing a very nice job. So we'll be asking for approval of that easement.
So this is, they're not expanding any service through there at this point?
Not at this point. The only thing that they're planning on doing is those several of the utility poles that are on the property will be replaced.
So this is an above ground easement or a sub? There's poles.
Yeah,
there,
we do have above ground poles. Correct.
Okay, so it's not an underground.
Right.
At this point,
correct.
But they would have the ability, I assume, to
correct
move it underground. Does it impact our use of at all?
It does not.
Okay, great. Any other questions?
So, excuse my ignorance. What does the word easement mean?
Basically, gives them the right of way.
So it's more like a rental. Is it selling the land?
It runs with the land.
Correct.
For as long as they're in need of it. That's probably what they call a general easement. So
right.
it would be for as long as they need it. If there would be some point where we wouldn't need electricity anymore, it could revert.
I believe also if they need to get access to it, they have the right of way to get
correct.
In there.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. The other action item, we actually opened bids on the auditorium project. If you recall, at a previous meeting right around the start of school, half of two of the units in the auditorium failed. The other ones were experiencing some failure, not completely failing, but we did talk with the board and did a we actually did a bid, sealed bids, working through our mechanical engineer. Those bids came in. The lowest responsible bidder was Myco Mechanical at $317,000. We did receive two other bids. One was from Liebold Incorporated at $389,000, and Fry Lutz was $397,800. So we did talk with, have not had experience with Myco, but our engineers have, and they had a lot of great things to say about them, and they're a very reputable company. So our hopes is that the next meeting you award that bid to them, and we can get all the documents signed and get and proceed with the work. It also, in the approval, authorizes myself to sign all the necessary documents going forward.
Okay.
There's no questions, that ends my report.
Where are they located then? Like, they
two
like,
of them on the roof and two are inside.
No, I mean the
I'm sorry. Neil, do you have their information with you?
Okay, I know where Pride looks is
down
in all the
Southern area.
Area.
Yes,
just curious. Telford.
Telford. Okay, so Bucks County.
Yep.
Mr. Ramsey, do you recall what was the budget for that project?
The initial estimate was about $250,000 to $280,000.
All right, thank you.
So it did come in a little bit above. Any other questions? Okay, that ends my report. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any other questions or comments relating to property or services or anything like that? Okay. Very good. Program committee.
Yes, Dr. good Larkin. Evening. This evening, I'd like to talk a little bit about our plans for the 2021 school year. You know that for the past several years, we've been looking at how we could move to a full-day kindergarten program. We've been working through our customization, and we believe we have a plan that will work for next school year. I took this plan to about 30 teachers about 2 weeks ago, got some feedback, actually had taken to them the second plan, on which is called Future. That one looked at making primary learning communities and intermediate learning communities. That would have been a blend of kindergarten through third grade and fourth through sixth grade. About a third of those teachers were on board with that and very excited, ready to move. The other two-thirds had some questions about the difference in the grade levels and were we ready to be able to combine. So I took that back to the to our building admin. And I told the team that I was going to do that. And what the building admin and district admin came up with was what we have there on the front, the 2021 school year. This configuration keeps the grade levels, but it does give us full day kindergarten. And we have four teachers at this point scheduled for full day kindergarten. We've been able to do that by shifting some of our other grade levels where some of our population has lessened. And so we have enough space right now to add two more classrooms to each building of kindergartners. Our purpose behind this, as you know, is that for the past 5 years, we've been part of the IU that has collected information on kindergarten readiness, and Elanco is in the bottom three every year. So we've tried to increase some pre-K activities. We do pre-K nights with children coming into kindergarten and their parents. We also do some pre-K activities during the day with our specials. And we've been part of the Plant the Seed of Learning and Grow the Seed of Learning at with other school districts. And this year, we've brought that into our own school district, and we've received some better feedback on that. That being said, we needed to look at how we can make sure that our learners from the very beginning are getting the best opportunities as they can for their future. And so after looking at this and after talking to teachers, we feel that this is the best way for us to move forward by having full-day kindergarten here in Eastern Lancaster County School District. And like I said, we are able to do that at this point with rearranging teachers and some space in each building, and we can make that happen. And we'd like to do that starting this school year. Questions?
Just one comment before you guys start. I know we've had a large number of parents over the last several years press us for full-day kindergarten for various reasons. But we've also had a very small handful. I've heard from three parents specifically about maintaining a half-day kindergarten as an option. So as a part of this, we will consider a half-day option for those who want to continue down that road. We haven't worked those details out yet. We won't know until kindergarten registration how many students that looks like. At some point, we may want to put some parameters on that. If we don't have X number, we wouldn't run that half day, or we certainly, my guess is we won't run that half day kindergarten at every elementary school, because I just don't expect that we'll have too many families who choose that option. So this is a firm plan as of today, but kindergarten registration will push this around a little bit, I would say. But we're excited. I'm thrilled that Dr. Larkin and her team were able to put together a plan that allows us to do the full-day kindergarten and still delay the whole combination, push that back a year, combining grades and that flexible grouping another year till our faculty are better prepared with professional development for that change in teaching. What questions do you have?
Obviously, you looked at other schools that are doing this. How do our numbers, as far as numbers as of now, relate to how other schools are doing it, teacher-to-student ratio?
Our teacher-to-student ratio is comparable to other districts. We have what we've tried to do in the past and can continue to do with this plan is have lower numbers at our primary where we are working more one-to-one, and then they do get a little larger at our intermediate. We start looking at 25, 26 at fourth grade or so, third and fourth grade. Do we need an additional support with a para or something or someone like that? By the time it's in fifth and sixth grade, it's in the high 20s to 30 before we look.
Okay, thank you.
What is the research on as far as us for students that age with handling the full day? I'm sure there's a lot of data on that. Is they're able to handle that at a
yes
pretty well?
There's quite a few people or children now who are in daycare from very young age. Mm-hmm. And the other piece that's really, really pushing this, and this is data that Mr. Frederick has, is it takes approximately a half hour to catch up kids at kindergarten, and it takes 4 hours of catch up learners in fourth grade. So concentrating our power at the younger grade level is really, really, really important for kids.
Is there still going to be any ability to move students at a quicker pace if they are
yes.
have the ability?
Yes. What we are looking at, and we're going to work up a schedule and bring it to teachers for feedback as well, is we're going to start focusing on math. And so we're going to try and schedule, like, kindergarten and first grade would have math at the same time, maybe even kindergarten, first, and second, to see if we can do math at the same time. That way, learners that do need to accelerate can easily do so based on that they have a common schedule. In fact, when we were talking with teachers about this, especially at the kindergarten and first grade levels, each of them had two or three learners that they said, oh, they would be really good. They would be ready to move, kindergarten ready to move into first. They're reading already. You know, we can make that happen.
Okay,
so,
good.
Yes, we're starting with scheduling so that we can start being flexible. And then as we go into the different subjects with learning progressions, I think it'll grow organically for us to move learners where they need to be.
And also probably matching up the teachers that have strengths in certain areas with, I'm assuming,
yes.
as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Great.
Dr. Larkin, is it anticipated that enrollment numbers will increase because of kindergartners who are not attending currently?
Good question.
I would say that we are thinking that may happen. Once again, Greg put in an extra large number for kindergarten. We haven't had 88 learners in kindergarten ever, as far as I know. But we've also, and we usually get between 10 and 15 more people start, or learners starting first grade. So we put that into our count to allow for that growth in kindergartners. Now, that's one of the, if we do get that many, 88 moving forward, our buildings aren't necessarily big enough to handle it, keeping it the structure we have now. We can do that if we do more blending. So we'll have to see how many we get and go from there.
Thank you.
I appreciate the effort of Dr. Larkin and her team and the time that Dr. Larkin spent with teachers to get some direct feedback, to hear directly from them their concerns, and also some of the things they're excited about. What this does is it allows us to embark on our MCL initiative with just a slightly slower speed to make sure we have everything in place. So it's just, it's really a small pause with the ability to, with certain learners, stretch them next year already. So it's a nice combination of what we originally had planned and what we'll do fully in a year out.
Just a quick question. Because this plan would essentially be a one-year plan until year two would be implemented, is that fair for, A, the teachers to have to, like, get all accustomed to it for 1 year and then have to switch it again for the following year? And is it, how is that going to be an impact on the students who starting out kindergarten and then might be in a blended, like, how does that feel?
Yes, think of it as a still an A to B move, only we're going A and a half to B. So this year's is just, it's really stretching out the process over 2 years, John. It's nothing different. They're not going to have to do anything. The kindergarten teachers will be doing the exact same thing. It's just there's going to be less involvement by the first grade teachers initially. Yeah. We'll continue to update the board with numbers and plans. And if anything, and with the half day as well, once we know what those numbers look like, if it's necessary. I know Conestoga Valley several years ago went to full day kindergarten. They had a half day class. I think it only lasted 1 year before they did away with it.
What is the school building that would have the most capacity for an extra class?
We have K all around, so it would be, I think it would be whichever, if we would have to go to one building, it would be whichever one had the most learners there to start with.
Okay.
Logically, blue ball if it's pretty even, but if one school has a whole lot more families that wish the half day, we'll probably lean towards that school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you anticipate increased costs for doing full day? Like extra teachers, extra paras?
As Dr. Larkin said, we're able to cover this by moving teachers and based on just sections that are moving up. We can move some teachers down. There's a increase. It would be an increase in materials, perhaps, but it's not significant this time. Now, if we do have to add, half day or a couple of half days, then we might be talking about a few dollars. And we still haven't talked about transportation.
That's the other piece.
We only plan to transport students for half day this year. We had planned to drop that back out next year. At this point, we wouldn't anticipate offering transportation midday if there would be a half-day class. We would drop that out as we had planned to do.
That makes sense. Thank you.
We have enough lines in our specials. We're in Brecknock, we are full, so any more classes, there wouldn't be room for specials. But we have room in our special lines to cover these two additional classes in each building. Any other questions?
Okay.
That ends my report.
Yes, thank you for that. Very good. Management Committee, then, Dr. Hollister.
Thank you, Mr. Yoder. As you can see, I'm continuing to fastidious. Thank you. Now, I'm being fastidious on policy, which is not very exciting, but it does need to be done. So a couple more policies I'm bringing to you. We're going to continue to work through the policy manual. Again, all of the changes that we are recommending are coming directly from PSBA. In these particular four policies, there was very little choice that we had. There were a few check boxes, very few, that we made, either to or not to, to do, that was given free choice. But for the most part, these are boilerplate policies that come directly from PSBA based on changes they recommend because of technology, because of some kind of case law, some kind of challenge. And so we're going through to clean those up. Keep in mind, these policies we're still working through are the policies that govern board operations, so they're probably the most applicable to this body. And these particular four, 000, 001, 002, 003, very few changes, some collapsing of language. Policy 004, a whole lot more changes. But really, it's a reorganization of text and summarization of text. Very little significance in terms of what it actually changes. What we'll do is we'll allow you to look at those up until next month. We won't ask for action, so there's plenty of time to review them. There's no hurry to change any of these. Our policies are okay the way they are, but we're just trying to bring them up to speed and give them some new dates and a fresh look. And again, you probably won't have questions tonight, but if you have questions next week or need me to follow up on anything, I'll be happy to do that for next month when we'll make them action items. Are there any questions now? Okay. That, I believe, concludes my management report. I do have two announcements, if I may proceed, Mr. President.
Yes, please.
A couple of things. First of all, exciting news. Our girls volleyball team is having a heck of a run. They are really doing great. They play in, I think it's the semis tomorrow at the Spring Ford School District, which isn't too far away, about 45 minutes away, either right down 23 or down 422. PIAA, they're in the Final Four. They have not seen this level of success since 2008, where they also played at Spring Ford, because I remember being there with Dr. Hoover. We went to that match. I think we lost at that time, but I have high hopes for them. They are really playing well right now. So tomorrow, if you're not doing anything, 5:30 at Spring Ford, down towards Montgomery County. So congratulations to them. Second thing is, I just want to acknowledge the hard work on the part of some of our music staff members. This past weekend, we hosted PMA District 7 Youth Honors Band. I'll talk a little bit more next week in my superintendent's report about our students who participated. But for tonight, I just want to acknowledge Jen Shaner and Jock Heckman, two of our elementary music teachers. They organized this, and it was a massive operation. They had school districts from schools from nearly two dozen school districts in South Central Pennsylvania. A whole host of musicians showed up Friday. So Jen and Jock needed to feed them Friday and feed them for lunch on Saturday. And then all the students played together Saturday afternoon here in the auditorium. They were assisted by Lisa Zimmerman and Alex Goodman, who also had a lot to do with helping out. So congratulations. It was a great night, a great weekend for our music folks. Made us look great. And really, our district was able to shine, and we were able to show off our auditorium and facilities. And I got to talk to a few parents who were very impressed and very pleased with how well it was organized, detailed in planning. It takes a lot to get all that done. So congratulations to those folks. The other thing I have is just a need for an executive session immediately following the board meeting for a personnel matter, teacher personnel matter, and a student discipline situation that that is occurring at our high school. And that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Were there any other announcements or any other from any other board members? Okay, we have a light agenda this evening. Look for a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. We are adjourned.